stock market's been like a merry-go-round lately, one day bobbing up, the next day down, and investors feel like they're going around in circles. Does that mean it's time to consider buying gold? You know, investors are like most people, only more so. They don't like uncertainty, and in turbulent times, they really do look for stability. Does gold provide that security? Well, host Rob West sits down with investing expert Mark Biller to find out. And then it's your calls at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Investing in gold, that's next right here on MoneyWise Live. Rob, Mark Biller, our good friend, is also the executive editor at soundmindinvesting.org, where they've been thinking a lot about gold lately.
Well, that's true, Steve. SMI has not one but two articles about gold in their newsletter this month. We'd encourage you to check them out. More information on how to do that in just a moment. But, Mark, great to have you back with us again.
Well, thanks, guys. It's good to be back.
Mark, why the interest in gold at SMI? Is it perhaps because gold and other precious metals are on people's minds these days, or some other reason?
Yeah, well, the main reason that SMI readers specifically are focused on gold right now is one of our main strategies moved us into gold in a pretty significant way back at the end of January. That turned out to be a great hedge against the chaos that was about to unfold in the stock market. But to answer your broader question, Rob, investors in general have become a lot more interested in gold and precious metals this year. And that's partly because of what we might call the fear trade, and partly also because of the massive government response to this economic crisis we've had, which has some inflationary implications for the future, and gold has always been a really good inflation hedge.
Yeah. Well, let's unpack a bit of what you just said. You mentioned the phrase the fear trade. I'd love for you to talk a bit about that, and then perhaps how the average investor tends to look at gold.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, a lot of investors tend to flock to gold whenever fear rises in the markets, and that's because gold has this convenient 4,000-year history of handling pretty much that everything us humans can throw at it and still ending up standing at the end. So whenever things get dicey, people get scared, as they did obviously this spring when the COVID crisis and the bear market were ramping up. That always spurs a lot of interest in gold. And in more technical terms, you know, we call gold an uncorrelated asset because it tends to perform differently than most other financial asset classes, like stocks and bonds. And that kind of diversification is exactly what investors want whenever the financial markets get scary.
Yeah, it's exactly right. This idea of it being uncorrelated just helps to provide further diversification. And obviously, there's more to it than just the fear trade, if you will. You mentioned you all specifically at SMI were buying gold before the recent market turmoil even started. So talk to us for a moment about what drives the price of gold and why some people are especially optimistic about it right now.
Yeah, so gold has really been in an uptrend. There's been this strengthening underlying trend since late 2018, and that's what our SMI mechanical process were picking up on earlier this year. What's happened in response to this COVID and bear market crisis, this has really been kind of a big amplifier and accelerant, if you will, of some trends that were already in place, and specifically, I'm talking about the massive amount of new debt that governments have taken on in response to the crisis. That plus all the new liquidity that central banks like our Fed have been pumping into the markets, that really kicked off last September, again, before COVID. So we're seeing this acceleration of these trends that were already in place. And that debt, the expansion of the money supply, all these actions end up lowering the value of money that's already in circulation. That's this debasing of the dollar that you hear about sometimes. And that makes real assets like gold that hold their value really attractive. You know, as the dollar becomes less valuable, a fixed standard like gold becomes more valuable.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Well, we'll have time to unpack this, plus your questions on gold right around the corner.
That's right. You're listening to Money Wise. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Mark Biller is with us today from Sound Mind Investing. And if you have a question about this or anything else related, call right now. We have open lines.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
And now, a discipleship moment. Here's Paul Downer.
Some years ago, I was really wrestling with what God wanted me to do with my life when a mentor of mine shared some great insights with me. He told me, "Paul, in addition to prayer and the teachings of Scripture, some of the best clues we have to God's will for our lives are what He has already willed to put in our lives, namely our gifts, abilities, and passions. As the parable of the talents teaches us in Matthew 25, only those who invest what God has entrusted to them receive His commendation, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" Friend, if you are looking for God's direction in your life, reflect on the gifts and passions that God has given you, and then boldly live them out for the good of others and the glory of God.
Phil and Paul Downer's Father-Son Conferences can strengthen your relationships. For more information, go to downer.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, great to have you with us today as we begin another week. You're listening to Money Wise Live, a place where we do our best to help you understand God's Word and how it applies to your money. And helping us understand the investing component today is Mark Biller. You really ought to check him out. They have lots of great resources and great articles to read when you visit soundmindinvesting.org. Rob?
Well, Mark, we're talking today about gold, and you've covered a bit of why someone would be interested in gold, why there's been a lot of price action in gold and new investment on the part of those trying to respond to this incredible Fed action and monetary stimulus, all as a result of the response to COVID. We did see another first today. In fact, just a couple of hours ago, the Fed made a major announcement with regard to something they had alluded to previously, but their actually going to start buying corporate debt. Talk about how unprecedented this is and the implications, perhaps.
Yeah, so this news originally broke back on Good Friday, and it really kind of rocked the market at that time, because the Federal Reserve has never really before come into the financial markets and gone specific firm by firm investing before, and technically they're not really doing that now. They're having some independent managers do this buying on their behalf, and they're loosely targeting an index to kind of spread this money around. But it's kind of disconcerting for people that have been in the financial markets for their whole careers to see an 800-pound gorilla like the Fed come in, and now it's not just independent allocating of money between firms by the market, you've got this big actor, and it feels like they are, to a greater degree, determining winners and losers. So that's been a big deal. The idea that the Fed money is behind the bond market, that's really the big picture message that's yes. come out of this. And so back on Good Friday when they first announced that they were going to be doing any of this, and then again today at 2 o'clock when they announced they were going to be kicking off the direct lending to specific corporations, both times, both the bond market and the stock market got a pretty significant kick higher. And so that has, of course, you know, whenever that type of thing happens, there are the more cynical type of interpretation is, you know, last week was the first significant trouble that the stock market has had since late yeah. March. We opened with a pretty significant down stock market, down close to 2% this morning. And lo and behold, here comes a new, yet another new Fed announcement that they're going to be pumping money into the bond market. And off goes the stock market to I guess, about a 0.5% gain today. So, you know, a little suspicious on the timing, but that's kind of what's going on with the Fed and the bond market. And, of course, what we're talking about today with gold, you know, it's all these repeated interventions by the Fed just pumping more and more and more liquidity and money into the system that makes people that watch gold think, you know, gold is really in the catbird seat here because yeah. the Fed just can't seem to resist the temptation of adding more and more liquidity yeah. to the system, which just makes gold more valuable by comparison.
Well, it's incredible and unprecedented, and you picked the word for what this is. But clearly the Fed has said, we will use every tool at our disposal, and they're displaying that in their actions, not to mention the fact that Fed Chairman Powell said recently, we're not even thinking about raising rates. I mean, he's clearly said, we are here to support this market and this economy, and we're watching that in full effect. Let's get back to gold for a second, though, because it's not all up in the sense that there have to be some downsides here that folks need to be considered. So why would we want to be cautious about buying gold?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the main reason to be cautious about precious metals is they are a very volatile asset class, and yeah. we don't have to look back very far to see really pronounced examples of that. So from 2011 to 2015, the price of gold fell from about $1,800 an ounce to just over $1,000 an ounce. So it almost got cut in half over that roughly four-year period. And now, more recently, having run back up to about $1,700 an ounce, some people have been looking for a pullback in gold. And, you know, to be fair, since the economic news started getting a little bit better and the stock market has recovered over the last 8 to 10 weeks, the gold price has been, you know, kind of in a range, a narrow range. So its ascent has kind of, at least for now, topped out as the economic and stock market picture have brightened. Now, is that temporary? We'll have to wait and see. But it does kind of raise the point that there are potential risks to gold on each side of the economic recovery story. So on the one hand, if things get really good really quickly, that fear trade just disappears and investors go back to focusing on everything other than gold. On the other hand, if things go poorly enough on the economic recovery side down the road, gold also has a nasty habit of sometimes falling right alongside with stocks in the short term. So if we were to see another sell-off in stocks, that's another possible downside. So there are always risks you have to keep in mind with gold and precious metals.
Hey, we're taking your calls today on not just gold, but anything investing related, because Mark Biller is here, and Mark just knows his stuff when it comes to the world of investing, biblical investing. Again, you can find them online at soundmindinvesting.org. And here's our phone number. We have four or five at least open lines, so now's a great time to get through. 800-525-7000. Jot that down. 1-800-525-7000. Mark, the things that we talk about, the principles, the scenarios that we talk about when it comes to gold and investing, does it also apply to silver and maybe other precious metals?
Yeah, it does, Steve. I think the way to think about silver in relation to gold is silver is kind of like gold on steroids most of the time. So whatever gold is going to do, silver is going to do that plus, you know, plus X or times two, you know, whatever you want to think of. Now, it's not quite that simple, because silver does respond more to the underlying economic cycle. Silver has more industrial uses that the real economy uses silver for than gold does. So sometimes you see it moving more with the economy, whereas gold is trading on a little bit different type of factor. But I think that over the broader term, that relationship tends to hold where, you know, if gold hiccups, you know, silver can really take a dive. And and on the other side, when gold really runs, silver will often, you know, perform even better during that period. It's a more speculative version, so I would encourage people to be that much more careful with silver, because it can be that much more volatile.
Yeah.
Interesting.
In just a moment, Mark, we'll talk about the best ways to invest in gold if a person wants to. But given the conversation we've had thus far, I don't want folks to think we're encouraging them to trade gold, move in and move out, trying to capture short-term moves in the market. Obviously, we're all about, you're all about long-term investments, which is what you were doing when you said SMI took an allocation in gold for your portfolios. So talk about how to think about gold as a part of your portfolio and not get caught up in this trap of, I need to catch gold now and ride it up quickly and jump out. That's really not the idea.
Yeah, that's a great point. We're not trying to create gold traders here by any means. But, you know, for an individual who's managing their own investments, maybe their own 401k, that kind of thing, a small allocation to gold that you keep over time, I'm talking about maybe 1% to 5% of a portfolio, can really have a nice volatility dampening effect on the overall portfolio. Again, because it's going to walk out of step with the other things in that portfolio. And there's some really easy ways to add that type of exposure, which I think we're going to get into here in a bit. And then beyond that, you really would need something more like the SMI strategies if you're wanting to do more than that, because then you are going to be talking about increasing and decreasing your exposure over time.
That's the voice of Mark Biller from Sound Mind Investing. Also here today, obviously, our host, Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. We'll come back and chat about gold or anything else investment related. Maybe what do you do with your gold jewelry? People actually do stuff with that if they're not wearing it anymore. We'll get some thoughts on that as well. 800-525-7000.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
It's just the coolest thing to realize that anytime God talks to any inanimate object, He speaks with creative force. And so anything He speaks to does what He tells it to do, just as if it perks up with ears and has a brain to respond. That's a big God. That's a big God. So all creation, as if animate, as if personified, sits and waits because it's in bondage until our glory in Christ has been revealed. And lurches and aches. It cranes its neck and watches for the sons of God to be revealed in his glory. Now that is just huge. So a little synopsis from the Apostle Paul about where suffering originated, why the earth will not cooperate with us, why so many things seem awry and there are so many pangs. You got to keep in mind that with every birth pang, we grow closer and closer to what is going to be birthed. And what will be birthed is the revelation of the sons of God as they really are after the revelation of Christ Jesus himself.
Maybe you're like me, always on the go. The free Living Proof app is a perfect tool to help you stay connected, encouraged, and in his word with Beth. Download the free app today. Just search for Beth Moore in the App Store.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you haven't checked us out online, you might want to do that when you have a moment. We're pretty impressed with our own website, and you just might be as well. You'll find us at moneywiselive.org. Lots of free, great information and resources there, archives to our past radio programs, and some other things, again, you might want to look at when you have a few minutes, moneywiselive.org. You can also make a donation to our ministry there. Just click the Donate tab at the top of the page. Mark Biller with us today discussing investing, and whenever we discuss investing, inevitably the subject comes up regarding gold, gold and silver, precious metals, things like that. And so we're chatting about that at the beginning. But anything today investing related, call right now, 800-525-7000. Orlando, Florida. Hi, Randy. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Great.
Doing
thanks.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your program. I got a question. I have at this time in my life, no debt. I was able to save a lot through my life, but also my parents had passed away a few years ago, so they left quite a bit of money for the children. They invested very well. They did great for the children, and through the years, they really taught me, as well as my brothers and sisters, kind of how to invest and just prepare for, you know, the time that you're going to leave this earth, and you know, one day we'll be with Christ, and we're excited about that. But when we're there, right, we want to leave stuff here for our family, right? Mm-hmm. We want to prepare for them, our children, our grandchildren. So right now, I have money set aside to do. I've already got investments, but I've never bought gold before. All right, I had a friend who kind of dealt with gold, and he had gold nuggets, he had gold coins, he had a bunch of different things. So I guess my question is this. How do I get started into adding gold into my portfolio? I mean, I know it sounds simple, like, just buy gold. But
are a number of ways, Randy, and so I'm glad you asked this question. Mark, your thoughts, the various ways to buy gold.
Yeah, that's a great question, Randy. And there are really two main tracks that people can follow for this. The easiest way for most people to add some gold exposure to a portfolio is by just using an ETF, an exchange-traded fund. It's like a mutual fund that trades like a stock. And there are ETFs that track the price of gold. The biggest one of those is ticker symbol GLD for gold. And it can be bought and sold just like any other stock or ETF. And the reason that I lead with that first is just because it's so easy for someone who already has an investing account, because it's just like adding another mutual fund to their account. They don't have to do anything fancy, anything special. They can just add the amount of gold exposure, again, whether that's like 1% or 5%, somewhere in between. They can just add that to their existing portfolio, and they're done. And that will track the price of gold over time. Now, for somebody like you, Randy, that maybe is thinking much longer term and maybe even thinking about investments that you can leave to your family, you know, you also have the option to add a more or less permanent allocation to gold by buying physical gold. And that would be, normally we would recommend that someone going down that path consider buying gold bullion coins over time. Now, we've got an article in our June newsletter about how to do that. You can do that through local coin shops. You can carefully investigate online options. There are some good ones. There are some bad ones. So you have to be a little bit careful online, but you can buy gold coins online. And that's a very efficient way to accumulate a small amount of gold as well. Now, you wouldn't want to have a ton of gold hanging around the house for obvious reasons, but for most people, if they're talking about a small allocation in their portfolio, you know, having a half dozen to a dozen gold coins either in a home safe or in a safety deposit box at the local bank, that's a very doable option. And again, we've got an article that kind of goes into more detail on how to do that for people that are interested in that specifically. Just follow the links at smi.org, and you'll be able to find that. But those are two pretty easy paths that you can use to get started.
Yeah. I love the fact that we have the ETF now, because you really can track that underlying price of gold, which is what most people want to do, as opposed to those who are buying the or taking physical possession of the gold, which can involve a premium both on the buy and the sell, not to mention securing it. Mark, your articles are a great resource in this area. So Steve will tell us how to get to those. But just want to say thanks for stopping by today. This has been really helpful.
Mark, thank you very much. God bless you, brother. Those articles, The Winning Approach to Owning Gold, and a video, a conversation about owning gold, you find it at soundmindinvesting.org. Check them out.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
The Moody Radio Verse of the Week for Father's Day is found in Genesis 18:19. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. That's Genesis 18:19, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
Here's how one person described the impact of Moody Radio.
It's gotten me to focus on Christ more, starting with reading God's Word, but that also carries over into being a father, being a husband, and also be there for somebody that might be seeking Christ.
Help reach listeners like this with the Word of God.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Even in these uncertain times, you can replace fear with hope. And Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, is a hands-on study to help you do just that. A short assessment will show you exactly where you are now. You'll then unlock the four H's of biblical financial wisdom and put your action plan in writing to transform your finances. Right now, request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise Live with a gift of $25 or more at MoneyWiseLive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The Supreme Court has ruled that a landmark civil rights law protects gay, lesbian, and transgender people from discrimination in employment. The court decided by a 6-3 vote today that a key provision of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that bars discrimination because of sex, among other reasons, encompasses bias against gay and lesbian workers. The ruling also covers transgender people. On Wall Street, the market shook off a weak start and ended broadly higher after the Federal Reserve announced its latest measure to support markets. Markets turned higher immediately after the Fed said it would begin buying individual corporate bonds, the central bank's latest move to prop up volatile financial markets. The Dow gained 157 points today. The Nasdaq was up 137. This is SRN News.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live, where timeless wisdom meets today's financial choices and decision. And, of course, the place we go for our wisdom is always God's Word, the Bible. Here's our number, 800-525-7000, Chicago, Illinois. Hello, Sue. What's on your mind?
Hi. Okay. In January, everything was very high, and you were saying, or all-time highs, and you were saying, you know, soon something could happen, and I was going to move it, didn't get it moved before it crashed. So now it's up again. It's actually higher than it was. At least my Vanguard IRAs are higher. And so I personally would feel better if I moved it somewhere safe until after all the election and coronavirus and all this stuff is over, at least. And my husband and I are semi-retired. We retired from our other jobs, and we're just working part-time. So, you know, I just want to be smart and not be greedy.
Yeah.
And these are Vanguard IRAs.
Okay, very good. Well, Sue, you know, I hear what you're saying. I think, you know, my preference is always going to be to let your goals and objectives, prayerful goals and objectives, drive the overall financial plan, including the investment strategy, not the circumstances of the day. Because here's the problem with trying to time that, even though your rationale makes sense. Rob, we were at all-time highs. Nobody saw COVID-19 coming. The market had the fastest decline to a bear market in history. And then we had this massive recovery in part due to this incredible stimulus and monetary support by the Federal Reserve, the fact that we may be moving out of at least this first wave of coronavirus, perhaps the economy will recover quickly. Just all of these factors has resulted in the net effect of what we've seen in the market move. The problem is if we try to say, yeah, but I want to go ahead and just sit on the sideline for the next X number of months because we could retest these lows. Well, as soon as you try to do that, you're trying to time the market, which means the market could move 3,000 points higher than where it is today. And then all of a sudden you feel like, well, we're missing it. And so we need to get back in. And then as soon as we do, something else comes out of left field and the market, you know, takes a dive. You know, those kinds of moves in and out of the market really are not investing, their market timing. And that's just not really what we see modeled in Scripture with regard to diversification and a long time horizon and having spousal unity in these decisions and really just all the principles that should govern how we invest God's money. So what I like to do is take a step back and say, why are we investing and what is our plan? And we start with praying and saying, Lord, what would you have us to do? What lifestyle have you called us to? How much is enough? What should we do for our giving? How are we going to support our lifestyle in terms of covering our expenses? We need to have a spending plan. And then whatever resources we have, whatever assets we have, we want to put those to good use in
in terms of making sure that they're there to meet our needs on an ongoing basis. If we live a long life and the Lord tarries, perhaps have something to pass on as an inheritance, and giving. And I wouldn't say just giving at death, giving throughout the rest of your life and saying, perhaps I have more than I need and I can be used by the Lord to invest in the kingdom and serve those around me that are in need. And I'd love for that really to be the driver. So given all of that context, Sue, then I would say, okay, what does your situation look like in terms of, are these investments providing a needed source of income to supplement Social Security and whatever else you have, part-time work? Or is this money that's just growing because you may need it down the road for long-term care, or you want to be able to pass it on to the next steward? Give me a sense of the purpose of these particular Vanguard IRAs, and then let's talk about perhaps how you should think about the investment strategy.
So we are debt-free,
okay,
and we have enough to get by. We're actually testing it. We're taking our Social Security, but we're putting all of that away right now.
Okay.
So that's going into the IRAs at the end of the year, just to see, can we live without, you know, the income that we're making?
Yes.
And so we're using that, but, I mean, it's the amount that we're making with our part-time jobs. And so it seems like we're okay with that. And we do tithe. We do give to, we've got, you know, missions in the family and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So it is for down the road, and I don't want to ever have to be lean on my children for anything and hope to have something for them.
Yeah.
It's not a whole bunch, but, you know, I mean, I always feel like I don't have enough for the future. But I don't want to lose it and be greedy either, and I just feel like maybe there's something stable. Like, I have a little bit, like 4,000, 7,000 in money market within the IRA, but I mean, that doesn't even get interest. So I'm wondering if there's something with interest that I could just put maybe half, so I don't feel so worried every time. You know, I just feel like there's so many variables right now.
Well, and I think there are, but I think that shouldn't, though, cause us to deviate from a prudent long-term investment strategy that doesn't get you into a situation where you're trying to pick, is the market at the top? Is it at the bottom? Is it going to go back down? Is it going up? The bottom line is we don't know. And so that's why we put a prudent investment strategy. So somebody in your situation, first, I would say you probably need some wise counsel, and that's why we talk about connecting with a certified kingdom advisor and having somebody who can really put that strategy in place for you. But, you know, just a big picture idea based on what I've heard would be, so let's say you're 65. You didn't mention your age, but let's say you are. You know, you may want to have somewhere between 30 and 40% in the stock market, which is going to provide the growth component to this portfolio. If you don't need the money now, perhaps even a bit more, the rest in fixed income. So you might have corporate bonds and treasuries and, yes, perhaps an allocation to cash. And the idea there is that one piece provides the growth engine, the other piece provides the more stable interest, you know, to the portfolio. And during those periods, like we had this year, and we might have again next year or 5 years from now, where the market is down, you don't touch those investments and you let them recover, because historically that's what always happens. We end up moving to higher ground, and that's why you have the cash and what I'll call cash equivalents that you can rely on for your income, you know, in the event you need them. And it gets you out of the position of trying to pick where is the market, where is it going next month or next year, because that's just a losing battle. It's a great question, and I hope that gives you some things to think about. And I really would encourage you to go to our website, moneywiselive.org. And if you don't have an investment professional, perhaps interview a couple certified Kingdom advisors here in the Chicago area, and you can just click on Find a CKA when you go to the website, moneywiselive.org.
Thank you, Sue. We do appreciate your call today. Rob, how about an email before we hit another break here? This is from Liz. She says, "Dear Rob, is debt consolidation better in the long run than settling with a credit card company for less than I owe?"
You know, I'm not a big fan of debt consolidation, which is where you take a new loan to combine existing debts and try to get an interest rate down. But in most cases, you're extending the term because that reduction in interest is often offset by a longer payback period and a lower monthly payment. The other thing I don't like about debt consolidation is in most cases, and I realize this isn't everybody, in most cases, we're treating the symptom and not the problem. The reason we have the debt in the first place is living beyond our means. The debt consolidation provides a temporary band-aid without you having to fix the spending or the overspending problem. So what I would do is if you have the ability to pay it off, pay it off. If you want to settle and they're willing to do that, do it. Otherwise, I would look at debt management. ChristianCreditCounselors.org would be a great solution.
Thank you very much. And we'll be right back after this brief break. Stick around. This is MoneyWise Live.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. With so many approaches and formulas for sharing your faith, taking that first step can be a real challenge. The fear of starting God-centered conversations with friends and strangers can be overwhelming. With maturity, there may be times when you feel God's nudge to be bold in your witness. It happens with some of us more than others, but only as the Holy Spirit leads. Going it on your own doesn't work. For starters and for always, your primary goal is for those around you to see God through you and want Him for themselves. Being good attracts people to you, but attaching your goodness to God with a simple mention of His name attracts people to God. Sharing your faith is about attraction, not promotion. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Your teen's life may be filled with activities, but is he missing out on valuable time with mom and dad? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. We push our teens to work hard at piano lessons, soccer practice, church events, and whatever else we cram into their 24-hour day. But rarely do we create time to simply sit down and have a real conversation. This week, try making a pie chart of your time with your teen. Is most of your time spent shuttling them from activity to activity or speed chatting at the dinner table? The fact is, kids these days are overcommitted and undernurtured. So if your teen feels constantly tired and worn out, it's time to intervene. Slow down, back off, and make your home a healthy place for restoring the soul.
Looking for more parenting wisdom? Go online to ParentingTodaysTeens.org or search for Parenting Today's Teens in your favorite app store.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. We just read an email from Liz. I should probably mention, because I forgot, that we'd be happy to receive your emails as well. Just keep it brief, just a couple of lines, and then the address is questions@moneywise.org. We read those questions, answer those questions only on air, so please don't expect a response via email, but only on air, questions@moneywise.org. Terry is in Syracuse, and all the snow is probably melted by now, right, Terry?
Yes, it is.
I used to live in Syracuse, Terry, so my heart goes out to you in the winter months. How can we help you?
Well, I'm 52. I'm a special education teacher. I was married for 30 years and just recently went through a divorce. My husband got half of my pension, and I ended up with a settlement. I'll have approximately $30,000. It's sitting in a money market right now. I'm debt-free. I'm in an apartment. I have enough, I feel like, with what I make, so that if I wanted to buy a condo, I could. I'm not sure what to do with the $30,000, if I should invest that, if I should keep it in the money market. Should I stay in the apartment? Should I look at buying something different? I'm just not sure what to do with that money right now. I've been teaching I'm going into my 30th year. So according to New York State, I can retire in approximately 3 years. So yes. I just...
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that, and I'm so sorry to hear about your recent divorce. Terry, let's talk through just a few more details here on your financial situation. So you have this $30,000. It's inside an IRA at this point in the money market. Is that right?
It's just sitting in the bank, in a money market, yep.
But it's inside an IRA?
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, the bank just put it in there for me. I'm not even sure what it's in right now.
Okay. All right. That would be the first question, is to determine what type of account that is. Tell me what assets you have beyond that. Do you have some liquid savings?
No.
Okay.
That's all I have right now.
All right. Okay. And what else do you have for retirement? Will you get, when you retire from New York as a teacher, what else will you have to support yourself? Perhaps we lost her. If you'd like to call back, we'll try to get you back on. Here's what I would say. You know, I think this really is a situation where you need to really look at your overall financial plan. There's a lot of questions here, and obviously so much of this is new. And I think we need to really get to a place where, starting with kind of the anchor of the spending plan, you've got a good handle on what expenses you have now, what income sources you have. Beyond that, it will be important to then look at your assets, which I realize you're saying is just the $30,000. Also, I love the fact that you're debt-free, which gives you great flexibility. So I think the priority order right now, once you have that spending plan in place, assuming you can live well within your means, would be, first of all, we need to have 3 to 6 months. I'd err on the side of 6 months in liquid savings for emergencies. Other than the emergency fund, then whatever is left over could be then invested for the longer term as an investment strategy for your future that will supplement whatever other retirement will be coming your way, Social Security and anything else from your teacher's retirement. And I think really those are going to be the key building blocks. This doesn't need to be overly complex. It's a matter of staying debt-free, living well within your means, having a budget, having that emergency fund, and then with those remaining dollars that can be invested, put a long-term diversified investment strategy in place. And to the extent it's less than $50,000, you'd probably want to look at something like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios or Betterment or something that would allow you to build a diversified, low-cost ETF-based portfolio that can just capture the overall returns of the market. So hopefully that's helpful for you, Terry. We so much appreciate your call today and know that there's a lot of moving pieces here. So I really would recommend you either reach out to one of our coaches at MoneyWiseLive.org or a certified Kingdom advisor there in Syracuse who could get things sorted out for you, perhaps even look at what insurance you have and whether there needs to be any updates. What about your will? You know, you really just need somebody with that can provide some godly counsel across the board.
And Terry, I'm sorry that we lost your line, but if you're listening, if you feel so inclined to hear the rest of Rob's answer, you can always visit our website. Today's program will be put up in about an hour or so, and all of our programs are archived same day. Just visit MoneyWiseLive.org and check out the radio page for today's date. And again, we're glad that you called and trust God will bless you and give you direction. Thank you very much. Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Bruce. What's your mortgage situation?
Steve Robb, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Happy to.
I have a first mortgage and a second mortgage, and I'm considering consolidating the two into either a 30 or a 20-year mortgage. And the caveat is the second mortgage currently, I'm paying almost 8% on that. The first mortgage is 3.99%. And I can get into a 30-year mortgage at 3% and a 20-year mortgage at 2.875%. And my goal would be either the 30 or the 20 to tackle this thing and pay it off within 15 years or maybe even sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many years do you have left on the first mortgage today, Bruce?
22 years. Okay. And 18 on the second-year mortgage. And I've done the math. I just don't know if I should try to pay off the second mortgage on my own, which would probably take about 3 years, and then just tackle the first mortgage. I am, you know, saving a point there, almost one point there. And also, you know, I had heart surgery last year. I've got about 10 years. My plan is about 10 years prior to retiring. I'm 58 and a half. And I'm just concerned if I were to have any other medical issues or something, even though I would tackle this mortgage, the 30 or the 20, diligently, I could probably even pay 3 to 4 extra payments on the 30-year mortgage every year.
Yeah. Let me weigh in here before we run out of time. I appreciate all the background. A couple of thoughts. Number one, if you have good credit, I like the idea of you combining these in a new 20-year mortgage. I don't like you combining them in a 30-year mortgage. You're going to have a slightly higher rate, and it's just too easy to settle into that lower monthly payment, and you're actually extending the term on both. So even though you have the reduction in interest rate, you have the ability to stretch it out and end up paying more interest. So I think if you have the ability to fit it in your budget at a new 20-year mortgage, keep in mind you need to double-check those rates. You may be looking at new purchase rates, not refi rates, which are going to be slightly higher. And so at 30 years, you may struggle even today to get a 3% APR. It's probably going to be a bit higher than that. So take a look at that. But I like the idea of you combining them, a new 20-year, get under 3% if you can, and then pay aggressively toward paying both of those off, as long as you plan on staying in the home and you've got the emergency fund, you're out of debt with regard to other consumer debt. I think this is a track I could get comfortable with. And we appreciate your call today.
Thanks very much, Bruce. Let's squeeze in Renee if we can, calling from Pearl, Mississippi, and you have a car question, huh?
Yes,
hi, Renee.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Hi.
Sure. Hi.
Yes, I have an 06 Nissan Altima with 228,000 miles. 6 months ago or so, I had to do some work on it that cost about $600. My air has gone out, and to get that fixed, it's going to be about $800. So my sister seems to think, and I'm thinking along the lines, too, that I'm going to need a car shortly anyway, even before the air went out. So should I go ahead and look at purchasing a car, or just go ahead and, because I have about $7,000 in my emergency fund, and should I go ahead and try to get a car, or just keep patching on this one until it just can't go anymore, and then I have to go out and get one?
Yeah. So you said 228,000 an 06 Nissan Altima. You've got 7,000 in emergency reserves, but that's it. There's no additional funds there. Tell me about your budget. When all your bills are paid, Renee, do you have anything left over at the end of the month?
So my take home is about 24. The only, let me see, I just have a mortgage, so I don't have any credit card or anything like that. Left over, I say maybe 200 to 300, something like that.
Okay, all right. And have you replaced the transmission, or what major repairs have you done in the last 24 months?
It was
transmission,
something, I think,
or
the axle. No, it was not a transmission.
All right, cooling system. Could be the axles, but that would be a one-time thing if it was. Maybe the CV boots, something like that. Does that sound familiar?
Well, it's part of it still does it. It makes a cranking sound when I'm turning, and the guy said, you know, it's not going to hurt the car, he didn't think, but it just, that noise.
Here are my thoughts, and we're about out of time. You can stay on the line. We could chat for a second more. Perhaps there's a mechanic in your church or somebody that you trust that could take a look at it and give you a good sense of beyond this cooling system, what is the status of the car? It sounds like it might be at the end of its useful life, though. And if that's the case, I think continuing to save as long as you can, buy something as cheap as you can, and go ahead and unload this is the way to go.
Renee, stay on the line. We'll talk to you a little bit off the air, but we have to kind of say goodbye right now. Thanks very much. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much for tuning in and listening. Tell a friend. Join us again tomorrow.